Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Well, we want to talk about a biblical worldview, a horizontal versus vertical view. And make sure you catch this, because we're going to continue talking about all the things that we brought up so far by God's grace. And when you think about it, I mean, how often do we spend our life looking straight ahead? I mean, we're up under a roof. We're going to get in a vehicle nowadays. We're not going to horses, so most of us don't. And so you're actually under the roof of a car unless you got, you know, Pat's convertible.
This is true.
He pulls behind his limousine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Right. I mean, it changes your perspective, by the way, if you do get a convertible and you don't have a top over your car. And I wouldn't mind if somebody gave me one. Anyway, moving on.
Well, you do have a two-wheeled version out there.
Oh, you're right. It's a tops off everywhere.
Yeah.
Right. But you think about it, we spend our whole life looking forward. And sad to say, a lot of times we spend our life looking down. You know, at what's happening at that moment and all. And the dangerous thing about understanding our natures and all, that we can actually begin to think of only that perspective, a horizontal perspective. Mm-hmm. We talk about, you know, sunrises and sunsets. We talk about what happened between the two, what happened, all that stuff. It's all constantly. We never look up. We never look up. We're just so, and all of a sudden, one day out of 90 days, you just look up in the middle of the night and you go, wow, what a beautiful universe. What a beautiful...
Are those stars?
Yeah, look at those stars. Look at the little dumpster. That's what Jared said. We're sitting there in our swing years ago when he used to fit in my lap. And we're looking up in the stars, and he looks up there and he goes, oh, wow. And I'm explaining to him, I said, you know, those are satellites out there. And, you know, you know, different things in the stars. And he's going, oh, Dad, you're so smart. You know so much.
Didn't realize he had a nap.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, my goodness. That is amazing. You know, I should have held closer to that moment.
Yeah, right.
Because I am getting smarter now. Anyway, and then he finally looks up there and he points. He goes, Dad, the little dumpster. he didn't even live in the city. You know, I can understand if you live in the city, right? The little dumpster and stuff. But he's talking about the little dipper. But, you know, the beauty of the sky and the sun and this is what, you know, God says. He says, look up, because your redemption is nigh. Mm-hmm. You're near. Look up. The Lord is coming in the skies and the clouds. You know, look up. The Lord sets. God sets on a throne in the center of all the universe, surrounded by an emerald rainbow, with living creatures shouting, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. 24 elders are laying their crowns down and saying, worthy, worthy, worthy. Mm. Angels are getting in. I mean, everybody's just worshiping him. And the enemy wants to get you to only think horizontally, to get you to look horizontal, look at the horizon and look at your feet. And the thing about it is, I'm looking here at George Barna, and this is a 2009 study.
Wow.
This is back when America was a Christian nation. This is back when America was, and it said very specifically that in 2009, that only 9% of America at that point had a vertical view or a biblical worldview.
Wow.
9%. And that was in the good old days back in 2009.
Wow.
And this is how he explained it. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about what I'm talking about. But he explained, Barna explained it this way. For the purpose of this survey that he gave, this biblical worldview, was defined as believing that there's absolute moral truths exist. In other words, there's yes and no in regards to moral truths. I think we've kind of went beyond, probably lower than 9% in that area.
Yeah.
The Bible is totally accurate in all of its principles it teaches. The next is Satan is considered to be a real being or force, not merely symbolic, and a person cannot earn their way into heaven by trying to be good or do good works. And Jesus Christ lived a sinless life on earth, and God is the all-knowing, all-powerful creator of the world who still rules the universe. Only 9% in 2009. I mean, these are the good old days. This is back in the Norman Rockwell days, 2009. Think about it. How far have we come? You know, it makes me think about Revelation when he says, in a day, in a day she fell. And somebody says, well, how could that be? They say that about Rome, don't they?
Yeah.
They say that about Rome.
Yeah.
And so you think about, you know, a biblical worldview and a horizontal view is one way, a horizontal versus a vertical view. And I'm looking at what's going on. I'm watching what's happening and with a vertical view. And I'm abiding with God. I'm reading his word and hiding his word in my heart and just following him. And he's speaking to me and I'm speaking to him and this relationship. And but then I'm looking at society, and maybe this is you, and you're thinking, what's wrong with society? What's wrong with the and we're gonna be talking about in today's program, make sure you hear it. You know, they have atheist mega churches, of a global phenomenon taking place. I mean, look, atheists are putting together these mega, the whole thing.
Wow.
Outside, you know, except God.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, what's going on? And in what we're looking at, you know, it just, God began to speak to me, is that that society is thinking, acting, and talking with a narrow horizontal view of life. Everybody's the news. I mean, people who call themselves intellectuals, people who call themselves spiritual, people who call themselves one who knows God.
Right.
They're operating off of earthly principles, off of, you know, what you've learned in your minute vapor of life. And since this person, and maybe this person is you, you never even considered the vertical. You never knew about the vertical. It doesn't seem strange to you because you're looking around. There's more people doing that. I mean, it's a wide road that does that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Never are they considering the vertical. For vertical is something you only consider possibly on Sunday, maybe at 10 a.m. or 11 a.m. Service. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I think vertically on Sundays at 10 a.m. I am loyal to vertical thought for at least a good 15 minutes. If it goes beyond that, I go back to the horizontal and I got to get out of here.
Mm-hmm. That's about right.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
That's not a stretch.
That's not a stretch at all, because we've been taught that. You know, you're a really, really, really loyal follower of Jesus Christ if you think horizontally twice a week, on Sunday and Wednesday, or at least some other time, right? And man, if you volunteer every now and then to do some for vertical work, I meant, if you think vertically on Sunday and Wednesday, and if you volunteer to kind of help out once a year, do something vertical. Everybody's like celebrating, whoo, whoo, my goodness, that was just wonderful. While you live in the horizontal, while your mind thinks horizontally. And at times, tragedy or loss or death occurs. At that moment, all of a sudden, everybody wants to go vertical. And they're trying to find somebody who understands the vertical. And they want somehow, you connect the dots from my horizontal to the vertical. You connect the dots of my father who lived a horizontal life and never even talked about the vertical. You owe this to me, Mr. Vertical Man, Reverend Man, Man of the Cloth. You tell me a vertical view, because I want to feel better about it, because I do not have a vertical view. I did not spend my time thinking about God. My dad didn't talk about God. And so I need you to tell me. And what do you know? A hireling pops up and says, hey, I just want to tell you that though you never thought vertically, though you lived horizontally, though you never even considered to look up where God is nor access him through his son, he loves you. And let me tell you about the vertical. And then all of a sudden they give this false presentation of God, of the vertical, of what God's word says. And that's when everybody starts looking around the room going, am I in the wrong funeral? Has something happened here? Because everybody knows who lives a horizontal life. Everybody knows who lives a vertical life. And in Colossians chapter 1, he tells us everything was created by him and for him, and he holds everything together. There was nothing created that he did not create, and everything in the universe was created by him. And it's so important, because if you're living your life horizontally, and we're going to continue this conversation in the next program, you got to catch us on the other side. Go to VFNTV.com and catch us, or download our app. But you got to hear this out, or go to the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Is that this is so important, because America is living horizontally. Everything's horizontal. And it's like, you know, and if you're wondering, like, this makes no sense. You're right if you think vertically, if you have a biblical worldview. But, you know, but is it really, we're going to talk about, is it the world's fault for not knowing the Bible? Is it your fault for not telling anybody about it? In a horizontal view, you think about, you're looking at the earth and the ground and the problems and economies and politics and all that kind of stuff. And a vertical view is when you're looking up. You're looking up to God as the creator of the universe, creator of all things. And it makes me think about, you know, the supremacy of Christ when he talks about it in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He says, Jesus, he is the image. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible or invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority. All things were created by him and for him. I mean, think about it. And so having a vertical viewpoint, a biblical view of God is very important, since he created everything.
Hello.
He created everything. But in regards to what darkness tries to do, is darkness tries to convince you that everything exists horizontally, and somehow you came from the slime and the mud, and some sort of evolution took place, and you're an accident. You're some sort of slime accident that happened.
Right.
And understanding that we're realizing, you know, if you're walking with God and you're abiding with him, you're spending time with him, you're reading his word, you're hiding his word in your heart, you're talking to him, you're listening to him, and you're doing what he tells you to do. You're just having this relationship with God. You may be looking around and thinking, what in the world's going on? Why is these grown folks acting like that?
Mm-hmm.
Is this really real? Is what I'm seeing on C-SPAN with these 530 some odd folks, is that real? Is it real?
Wow.
When I see people maneuvering and trying to organize the world, is that real? I mean, it's such a small thing. And then you start realizing, wait a minute, the only view they have is a horizontal view. They do not have a vertical view. They don't even know that God exists and that he's the one that created everything. And so they're only looking at horizontal. And if you understand that, you can understand, folks. You can understand what's going on. You can understand that's the reason why somebody, think about it, if God did not exist, and by the way, John Lennon did go see him when he was on the sidewalks in Manhattan, when he came out of his apartment, when some crazy man came up and took his life, at that moment, he found out God existed.
That's right.
He sure did.
And he don't have to imagine anymore.
Nope.
And understanding that if someone thinks all that exists is the horizontal, things like what we're going to be talking about in a little bit about that, global mega atheist mega churches is becoming a global phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is crazy.
Wow.
But is it really crazy if there's no God? If they think there's no God and they like the fellowship and they're going to talk about all the things they like doing. Or you think about, well, if there's no God, then we got to figure this thing out. We got to put together some elders of the world and we got to put together some finances. I mean, you know, the founder of Virgin Airlines, you know, he was one of the elders. Bill Clinton, President Clinton, was one of those elders. And several of them were out there, and they called themselves the elders of the world at that point. And wow.
Interesting.
But you understand, if they don't really know God exists, I mean, they may politically say things or whatever, right. But even Satan trembles at the reality of this. And so man has to be deceived to think that way. Then they're looking at things in a logical, worldly, dark viewpoint of we got to figure this out. Who else is going to figure this out? You know, I don't know what's up with Israel. Israel just needs to just get along, because this is all horizontal, and they have no idea. That's as vertical, brother. This is vertical.
Right.
If you touch this thing, you're going to find out how vertical it is. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can a company mandate a program that goes against one's faith? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My husband has told me that he has to go to mandatory diversity training. And I wondered, in this type of training, what theological beliefs do they try to usually impress?
It depends on the program. Some diversity training programs are fine, and others are very agenda-driven. What we need to do, and this is what he needs to do, is find the information about what's going to be contained in the diversity training program. Then if you go to ACLJ.org, look under the issues section. It'll say work-related matters, and there's all kinds of information about how you can opt out of a diversity training program if a particular aspect of that program violates your sincerely held religious beliefs. That's the standard there. So, Vanessa, the thing to do is get the actual what's going to be in the diversity training program. Take a look at our website at ACLJ.org. You should be in great shape from there. If you got any additional problem, you call us back and we'll get you some help, okay?
Find out more at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
We are so excited about being able to encourage you. Be able to encourage you here on your journey. Think about it. Keeping the conversation light. That's what he commanded us. And that's one of the original words the Lord spoke over us is that, and he speaks over all of us, but in regards to why are we doing what we're doing, he says, because he said, go be the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that in this dark world, that it's dark. And so if we're light, if you're talking about the word of God and the ways of God, I mean, it may be rough at first because there's a lot of darkness,
right,
but you're actually bringing light into that area.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me think of, you know, Rick Joyner and the vision mm-hmm. about that sword. And when you're waving the truth around the air, it just changes the atmosphere.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you want to change your atmosphere, I want to encourage you, begin to listen. It's 24/7, 24/7 to VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and find out all the ways that you can get us. You can watch us on Christian Television Network around the nation and around the world, but listen, you need in your workplace and your home, just let it play and just let the light come in there. But why have all that prognostication and darkness constantly coming your way?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
But they're looking at Israel in the Middle East as a horizontal. Men are. Satan's not. Lucifer knows. But those that are deceived by him, they're thinking horizontally. They're mm-hmm. thinking about expanding their natural kingdoms, their power, that this thing is, you know, you're affecting our horizontal whatevers. And it's like, but if you understand vertically, I mean, it's crazy what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But not. It's not, it doesn't seem crazy to somebody who does not think vertically. Sad to say, if that means that they don't have a biblical worldview of the world, they don't believe is a biblical worldview, and you think, well, according to George Barna, 81% of people who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ, the Word Himself, don't even pick up their Bibles.
They don't have a biblical worldview.
So they don't have a biblical 81%. And according to the survey back in 2009, back when we were like a Norman Rockwell painting, you know, everybody just kind of like, you know, think about it. The good old days in 2009. Mm. Only 9% of us had a biblical worldview at that time, had a vertical view
wow.
of all things. And so in the context of this, that so we could sit here and say, you know, what's wrong with these people who don't have a biblical worldview, even though out of the 19% or 18% that are reading their Bibles, only 3% have a biblical worldview of how that actually they're applying it to their life. Because the others are just, I don't know, getting bragging rights, reading through the Bible. Whatever it said, I read through it this year. And that don't happen, does it? Anyway, so, and so 9% only had a biblical worldview of people who profess to be Christians. And it's like, okay, so that means a Bible view. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about God? Well, if you're not picking it up, if you're not applying it and having a biblical view yourself of God, how are the lost going to have a biblical world? I mean, if you're the one supposed to tell people about it and you don't even know, if you don't even have a biblical worldview, if you don't even think vertical, you spend a whole week and you don't think vertical once, not once did you bring God into anything, into your marriage, into your finances, into your... You're raising your family and your decisions for leaders for your nation. And you just never brought them up. You never thought vertical. And then you grumble and complain because you're going to show up at some whatever at 10 or 11 o'clock on a Sunday because you're going to think you're going for a few moments, 15 minutes, they say, anything longer than that, then they have a physical back to horizontal. That's what they say. Longer than 15 minutes, you know, that's their attention span for vertical. And it's like, oh, wait a minute then. So then if the government doesn't have a biblical worldview, if they don't have a vertical view, and America doesn't have a biblical vertical view, and people who call themselves Christians do not have a biblical worldview, don't think vertically. It's like, if you want this thing to change, instead of looking at it and calling it crazy, because it's not crazy if people don't realize God exists, you have to actually begin to be the one to say, you know what? I'm going to meet this God I talk about. I'm going to begin to abide with this God I talk about. And once I know him, and once I really find out what I'm talking about and who I'm talking about, I'm going to begin to give people a biblical worldview.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who else would be the one that gives the world a biblical worldview? I mean, even the lost man, the lost governors, the lost judges, the lost attorneys, the lost legislators, they used to have a biblical worldview. Our laws are based on the Bible. They do. They knew it. They just did the every aspect of this thing. And now what's happening? God's people quit having a God view, a vertical view, trapped in darkness. So the answer is not the school system. The answer is not the university. And the answer is not continuing to gather at a place who does not have a biblical worldview. That's just foolishness. That's insanity. It's insanity to go there every single whatever just to hear another worldly horizontal viewpoint. When outside, destruction comes at the end of that, by the way.
That's right.
But do you need to get a vertical viewpoint? You got to get a vertical viewpoint, and you can do that by getting an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. The answer is you. If you call yourself a Christian, the Great Commission is not a suggestion. It is a command. Being light to this dark world. In other words, being a vertical view to this horizontal world. That's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Being light to this dark world. That's what you're commanded to do. Go be the light of the world. Go be the biblical worldview. Go tell them about me. Mm. Go tell them I'm the one that created everything, and I'm the one that holds everything together, and that I am... chose the very times and seasons they would live. I just talk about it in the book of Acts, chapter 17. I'm talking about it. And I did this to see if they would acknowledge me, though I'm not far from them. This is a biblical worldview, a vertical view. Listen, this is how the nation's going to change. It's not going to change because you got some sort of political answer. It's not going to change because you got a good idea or some utopia concept. It's going to change when we get a vertical view again.
That's right.
Horizontal view only says, why have 10 commandments? You know, why should we pray publicly? You know, why should we have, you know, anything to do with God? They start pulling his name off of everything. Why? Because it's strictly a horizontal dark view. But you can't blame the folks who never said yes to God.
Yeah.
How are they going to know unless someone tells them? And how is someone going to tell them unless someone is sent? And how is someone going to be sent unless you go? You think about it. And so the reason why we got into this boat, this dark boat, and this horizontal boat, staring at horizons, hoping things are going to change, is because we quit looking vertical. We quit talking vertical. Think about this. 97% of the church itself, according to George Barna, is robbing from the vertical. While we're demanding from the horizontal, we're robbing from God and demanding that the horizontal tax us less. Not understanding that the vertical controls the horizontal.
Hello.
And if he directs the king's hearts like a water course.
That's right.
And he puts set men in place and his justice in place, that if you don't get the vertical right, you ain't seen nothing yet with the horizontal. I mean, right? Am I talking about it?
That's true. True.
So you have a supposed church who is totally oblivious to the vertical, disgruntled, even have to think about the vertical for a few moments out of the week, not even touching the book about the vertical, the Bible, definitely not saying anything about it, and anything you are saying about it is something you read on some billboard some way, and it's all messed up. And he's all twisted because you're not in the Word. You don't know. You're just quoting something you heard. That's not scripture. That's Confucius, bro. You know?
Yeah.
And totally ignoring the vertical while demanding from the horizontal to be God to you. Demanding the horizontal to provide for you, to meet your needs, to make you healthy, to provide you houses you didn't build, to do all this different stuff. And it's like, hey, that comes from the vertical. It don't come from the horizontal. You need to have a biblical worldview. And if you don't, maybe it's our fault. Maybe we didn't teach you. Maybe we didn't tell you about God. Maybe we didn't help you understand that everything was not only, Jesus is not a good idea. He's God. He is, when you see Jesus, when man saw Jesus, they saw the face of God.
Mm-hmm.
When they saw the actions and attitudes of Jesus, they saw the actions and attitudes of God. Listen, the hope for America and the hope for the world and the hope for all mankind is for you who call yourself a believer, who call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ to truly become one. Become a believer. Become a follower of his ways. Hide his ways in your heart. Learn his ways. Get a biblical worldview and then begin to tell everyone you got to think vertical to be able to understand and know how to move in the horizontal. Any other way is a thief and a robber. Let's get a biblical worldview. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Just Fish and Grits. If you're in the mood for some good Southern cooking, visit Just Fish and Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good. Cordova Lanes in Pensacola, not just your ordinary bowling alley, it's your community center that is perfect for family gatherings, school field trips, church socials, networking opportunities, and so much more. Come visit and strike with us today. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There's nothing like wisdom from those who have gone before us. I mean, think about it. Reverend Billy Graham that's reached the world. He's being interviewed by Greta Van Susteren here on Fox News, and she's asking him a very important question. It's something that we talk about all the time about an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. But listen to the wisdom of Reverend Billy Graham as she asks him a very important question. We'll be right back.
If you were to do things over again, would you do it differently?
Yes. I would study more. I would pray more. Travel less. Take less speaking engagements. I took too many of them in too many places around the world. If I had to do over again, I'd spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love him and adore him. And I'm looking forward to the time we're going to spend together for eternity.
Why would you speak less when you had such an enormous audience and people listening? Why would you want to speak less?
I didn't mean that I would speak less in these great stadiums. I meant that I would speak less at all kinds of conferences and things that I was invited to throughout the world, especially in Great Britain and the United States, because I'd get up and travel to those places, and I didn't have time to think and study and pray, and I needed time for that. And if I had to do over again, I would try to organize it much better.
I mean, think about it. All this wisdom and the Word of God, the Word of God tells us, imitate those that have gone before us. We can either start again like we have not borrowed the experience and grown from those wisdom that has gone before us, such as Reverend Billy Graham, or we could say, you know what? He's right. I'm going to apply the wisdom that he's learned in his life, and I'm going to begin to abide. In my schedule, in my time, it's going to be specifically how I love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. If you don't have a plan right now how to abide with God, this is what we talk about continually. Go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your simple plan today that we have available for you so you can begin to walk in this wisdom today. It's iabide.org.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. CBN News is reporting atheist mega churches now. Atheist mega churches. Wow. Think about this. Atheist mega churches are opening up, becoming a global phenomenon. But think about this. Is that wild or what?
It's crazy.
Crazy.
Is that so? I want you to hear this, and we're going to come back and talk about this. Amazing what they're reporting now.
Dozens of atheist megachurches are springing up across the U.S. The gatherings have been successful in Great Britain. Now they're drawing like-minded non-believers in cities like San Diego, Nashville, and New York. The so-called churches look like typical Sunday morning church services, complete with music, hand clapping, and inspiration. The missing element? God. On Sunday, hundreds of atheists packed this auditorium in Los Angeles for the launch of the latest godless church. British comedians Sanderson Jones and Pippa Evans founded the movement and plan to kickstart more anti-godless assemblies in the U.S.
You know, when we think about religion in America, we often talk about, oh, belief in God, belief in Jesus. But for a lot of people, it's the community. It's the Sunday school. It's the seeing people afterwards in the foyer or in the courtyard. And it's the having coffee. They want that kind of moral community that is about connecting with others and is about celebrating life, celebrating morals and ethics in a non-supernatural context.
Similar gatherings have been started in Great Britain, Australia, and Canada.
Amazing.
Wow.
Amazing. That the church has done things so horizontally now that people that don't want anything to do with God saying, listen, we want to imitate that. We want to imitate that.
Just take the God part out.
Just take the God part out of it. Wow. I mean, everything, does it not look like it's the same?
It looks the same.
Yeah.
It smells the same.
It's like, but the thing is they're openly saying that they're calling them atheist mega churches. Sunday's assembly. And they're coming together. It's a phenomenon. They're talking about in Nashville.
Global.
In Nashville. Phenomenon. Nashville, San Francisco, San Diego, where it was. But this in Nashville, they have the Parthenon. Now,
Tennessee.
If you have not seen that, what's that?
Nashville.
In Nashville, they have the Parthenon that we talked about that in on the VFN Torch. You can actually find out about that. But that here they are. And the Parthenon has got this huge 30-something foot god, you know, Athenas or whatever, you know, in there, and the government there is actually sustaining that and hiring people to keep it going.
Yeah.
And now look, they have, you know, Lucifer setting up churches to himself there. You know, atheists are having mega churches. And it is, you know, you understand this, that they don't have a biblical worldview. They're actually looking at what we're doing, possibly, what we said we were doing, and they're thinking, I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been in business before where you know, I'm trying to encourage people to get into that type of business and get involved so they can be successful and whatever. And I discovered is people's natural tendency, since they're not, they want to be social, but they don't know how to be social. They want to be able to be connected into to a group of folks, but they don't know how to do that. And one of my biggest frustrations when I was in business was those folks that came because they wanted to socialize instead of work.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is not a social club. This is work.
Mm-hmm.
And they had no problem not making any money. They had no problem not getting involved.
Put the cookies down.
And the thing is that they were honest about, hey, I'm in this because I like you and I want to hang out and I don't mind the culture. But it existed because of the business.
Mm.
It didn't exist so they could have, you know, whatever. And the church, when we come together, we're coming together to worship Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. And if people start hanging around because they just want to socialize in social groups, I mean, what's going to happen is, if God's with you, then God's going to convict them. God's going to show. This is what. Look, you're about to say something. We got to get back to the reality is that people should fear coming amongst your number.
Mm-hmm.
They should fear coming amongst your number. If they don't know God, the presence of God separates you from those who don't know God. And they should fear coming amongst your number, right?
That's right. I'll say something.
I don't know. It just looks
I'll,
like you're
going to say
I'll just say, hey, I figure it's going to be profound or something.
Hey, I'll jump in.
And this is horrific, church. This is huge mockery to what we've called ourselves doing, and now Lucifer's saying, "Hey, I could do the very same thing." It's sort of like when Moses came in and threw his staff down on the ground, like God told him to, and his staff turned into the snake.
Mm-hmm.
Then Pharaoh calls out his magicians and says they do the very same thing. I mean, that's what the enemy always wants to imitate. You know what's going on, but that the difference is what you're doing should devour what they're doing. It should actually hit. The thing about Moses's serpent, it ate the magician's serpent, and swallowed it. It's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And and this is what Moses said too. He said, you know, the only thing that differentiates us, God, is your presence. And you should be known not by what you say, not by what type of building you're meeting in. And the buildings are irrelevant. They're good, but they're irrelevant. It doesn't determine who you are. No more does your outside of your body determine who you are. But the presence of God should differentiate you. Paul said, I never stopped warning you day and night with tears for years, the whole time I was with you, that wolves would come in among you, even from your own number, and devour you. I mean, think about that. And today we're like, oh, just come on in, whoops. Come on in. We got some juice and some Capofrenos. We got some all these things going on. There's nothing against Capofrenos and all that stuff. But I'm just saying is that if he warned day and night that somebody who was held captive by the adversary would come in and do damage to the body of Christ, then we as shepherds have to be very careful of what we're doing and why we're doing and knowing the whole aspect of it. And if God's not, his presence is not with you, anything could be going on, but the presence of God, God will deal with things that are not right.
It's a dangerous thing to draw people to a place where the church is gathering with anything else besides God. It's like, why are we using anything else besides God? Your whole reason to come amongst is to be because God alone.
And Paul said, you know, I put aside all those different techniques and all those marketing plans. I put aside all this ability to, I want to just come to you with the power of God. Because I want you to know it's God and not me.
That's right.
And how you know you slipped up and you started falling horizontal ways in the ways of the world is when it's about you.
Right.
When it's, you take everything personal, when it's all about you. And it's no longer about God anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. When it becomes a lot like one of these star searching programs and you're, you show up and you're on a stage and people applaud you and not God, and you're just like, it just means so much to me.
Wow.
You know, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And understand, it's like, my goodness, this is happening in America. At the same time, you know, radical Islam and Islam is on the increase. And according to Ann Colbert in her recent book, as she was talking in an interview on Book TV talking about it, she said the reason why the amnesty law is coming around and they want to pass the amnesty law is because all the people that flooded the borders will be instant voters. And when they do that, then most of them, they say, are going to vote in a certain way, a liberal, more liberal type way, one that a Christian value wouldn't be in regards to that. And somebody asked a question, well, why is this so? And she said, because Christians are having children. And the only way to be able to snuff that out is to bring in other folks and water it down. Oh, and all of a sudden, you know, give these folks who are not Christian equal citizenship.
Wow.
So at that moment, they pull a lever that's different than your value system as a Christian. Listen, we have to wake up. It's time for us to get a biblical worldview. It's time for us to realize the atheists are building mega churches and it's becoming a global phenomenon. We need to wake up. We're talking about having a vertical view versus a horizontal view. Having a biblical worldview of the world. So important. It will all make sense to you when you get a biblical worldview. I'm telling you, it really will. But then you'll have the sense of urgency saying, oh, wait a minute. I'm the answer.
Hello.
I am the answer. And then we follow that with the reality of what CBN News is reporting, that atheists.
Crazy.
And we've reported already. We reported already, and you can see it on the VFN Torch, that ABC News did a story on atheist pastors over megachurches. And now they're just kind of like going all the way. This is what this pastor said with a little thin line across his face.
Really?
They don't know.
Like
if those couple thousand folks don't know who you are. And he said, this is the only trade I know. This is the only trade I know. And then they asked him, says, does your wife know? And I'm thinking, folks, that whole thing is a big bucket of religion.
Wow.
The whole thing. This is about a relationship. You know when you know God. If you missed yesterday, when you heard on Veterans Day, when we were talking about, when Steve was sharing his testimony about when he met God, that was not a religious experience. Mm-hmm. It was a drink fountain between ranch dressing, the death of a particular elderly woman, or possibly his
potential death.
Mm-hmm. And God showed up. Before ranch dressing went everywhere. I mean, he's real. God's real.
Yeah.
He's a real God. He's not real. Listen, if all you've been doing is religious, you know, I can understand if you're miserable. I mean, nothing's more miserable than being religious while having a relationship. But that's what that is a big bucket of religion. When 2,000 people can show up, according to ABC News, as they're interviewing this who calls himself a pastor, who says I'm an atheist, and but this is the only trade I know, that everybody there, if you don't even know the person who's talking to you every single Sunday for the 15 minutes you hear him, that he doesn't know. And what he did was he pulled all the blood out. He pulled everything he didn't agree with out of the word, and he taught only the parts that he actually believed was just a social justice type thing is what he taught. He taught things that he could agree with and didn't even talk about the other stuff. That's what he did, that's been happening. He's just honest with that little thing. But now their atheists are actually opening up mega churches. And you could see this on the VFN Torch if you missed it. Those on Christian Television Network, you just saw it. And this is amazing what's taking place. It is amazing. It's like the only answer is for you, if you are the church, if you are a Christian, is you got to get to know the light and be the light of the world as God's called you to be. If not, our future is going to be the same future as what's taking place right now in North Korea.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We had our Bojangles moment right there. The chicken was good. The chicken was good. It's got a little bit of spice to it, not enough for Pat, but it's got good flavor to it, and it was so juicy.
Well, I've got a good chicken place. Next time you come visit, I've got the place.
Your food is so good up there. Oh, my goodness. I wish there was a way that you could just... which one?
There's this place. I don't even know the name. It's a Chinese restaurant, and they stay so full. Actually, Eddie turned me on to this place. But you got to wait like 25 minutes every time you go to order your food. And it is so. I mean, I'm sure it's not healthy for you. I'm saying, but it is so.
Delicious. What's the place that you and I went to where they brought over like a whole cow and all? They kept on bringing nonstop meat. And you kept on give them more. What was that?
Oh, that was in the Ironbound. We went to that's Ironbound in New York. What was that?
No, it was
that
Jersey.
Place?
It was Jersey.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Newark.
Oh, Newark. Oh, no, okay. Yeah,
Ironbound in Newark. It was a Portuguese restaurant. What do they call that? Slip in my mind.
There's the P.
It's called Endless Meat. What do they call that?
Gluttony. Oh, gosh. They just kept on bringing. Oh, go ahead. Tell
them. Greg gets off the plane. So the first thing says, let's take you out to eat. So we take him down to the Ironbound in Newark, Portuguese restaurant. And this area is awesome because they all have the same type of restaurants. You go in there, you order your food, and Pat, get this. It's unlimited meat.
Unlimited meat.
So they'll come around and they'll bring you these sausages, the chicken, then they bring you the filet mignon. It's and you know what? I mean, I saw a big smile on Greg's face. I even have a picture. I mean, I was very great. Do you? Big smile on his face.
Oh, someone saw that picture.
Oh, my goodness. Was it before or after?
Well, he kept on going, moi, 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 or something. I don't know.
Oh, I kept bringing him over, but that was good food.
It was like the whole shish kebab. It was like a 4-foot shish kebab.
Oh, my god!
You know, and they'd come over there, and one of them was like a beef one, and one was a chicken one. One was
like sausage.
Sausage. Which was, I was like, don't waste your time on that.
Yeah, right.
Get me. You had to work. They made you earn the filet mignon. Yeah.
Like, don't bring me any more sausages. Okay, bring me the filet mignon.
And Isaiah's looking at me like with a grilled cheese sandwich. Why are you getting all that meat? I was like, take it, Isaiah, please. Take it.
We definitely got some food here. I'll tell you that much.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. I'm looking at what happened with Paul and Paul in his ministry and as a Christian. And I'm looking at Acts chapter 16 when he was just doing ministry. He was just loving on people and helping them tell them about God. And there's this lady that just kept on following him. She was somebody that had the ability to discern spirits and this type of thing, and she was used by her owner, her master, that would make money on her, money making opportunity. And which, first of all, hello everybody, that means just because somebody can discern a spirit does not mean they're of God.
That's right.
Catch a clue.
And so she's following him around going, hey, these guys are following Jesus, these are Jesus followers, this is Jesus, and just begin to, after a while, about 2 or 3 days, he's just like, you're getting on my nerves. And if you've ever been to Israel, I mean, the secret's out if you're talking like that, because it's not that big. And so finally, he turns around and he just delivers her from the spirit, come out of her. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, she's not a moneymaker anymore. She cannot discern anymore. So what was that? That was a demon devil that had gotten itself on her. Mm-hmm. That was, she had, was able to cooperate with, or vice versa, that somebody else was able to enslave or rule over or employ to make money on the whole scheme. And which means that pay attention to what you're doing and where you're going for a word. And so Satan was able to be delivered and driven out of this woman. The devil was, and so a demon was, and so all of a sudden now she had no more power. So her powers came from hell. It did not come from God. He says, he says in the last days, many people are going to be deceived. It's because they're deceived because this person discerns things or miracles happen or something's going on, they automatically default, oh, that's God.
Right.
It's amazing. It's like, have you read anything? Anyway, so So the guy that owns her or employs her is upset because he just lost his whole money making thing.
Yeah.
And he creates all these lies and builds this whole thing up on Paul, and Donna and Teresa hopefully are going to, they've read this Book of Martyrs, I believe it is, as something of that nature, and share, but somebody served 8.5 years in prison, possibly in Iran, because of a lie. Mm. You know, we got people in America that won't serve 8 minutes behind a red light without being offended for 6 months. This guy served 8.5 years and still loved Jesus all the way through it when somebody lied on him. And so they're lying on Paul, just like this guy that happened just recently. This is like in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And lied on Paul. And so they went and arrested Paul. They went and arrested him. And they beat him. They beat him. They didn't just, you know, you're going to go to jail, go to booking, we're going to get your attorney in the morning. They just beat the stew out of him. You think about it. And so here he is, you know, at the bottom, the very bottom of the prison. And like I said, the magistrate ordered them to be stripped and beaten and severely flogged and put and thrown into prison. Because this one man, you know, he lost his money. And let me tell you something. People can say what they want to, but it's amazing how many decisions even Christians make. They say it's for God, but they don't tell you they're God's money. It's a money decision. It has nothing to do with Jehovah God. Our provider has to do with money. And this whole thing was being stirred up because the man lost his ability to make money. But there's wisdom here. I mean, think about it. That first of all, we learn here that Paul was getting irritated by something. Deliverance is not always the thing. Just because in the power of Jesus' name can deliver somebody, that might not be what God wants you to do with that person. Mm-hmm. Because just because you can do it don't mean you should. And this is so important because so many people get so excited and they just start doing whatever. And it's like, wait, you need to listen to God. Because think about it. If he wouldn't have driven this demon out of this woman who wasn't even part of what was going on, really, she was just irritating him, then his ministry would have continued on. He picked a fight he shouldn't have picked, and now he's in jail. And I know men of God right now that are serving time because they picked a fight they shouldn't have picked. Mm. And the enemy used it to be able to take them down. And if Paul would not have driven this demon out, if he just dealt with his irritation that he was having because this woman was irritating him and realized, you know, just got to let that be and continue, he could have continued to minister on. Mm-hmm. So it makes me think of, you know, Rick Joyner's vision when he writes about it in the book called The Torch and the Sword, that he's in this town and he has the sword, which is the word of God, but in the vision was a sword. And he was just so excited. It cuts to see how well it cuts or whatever. He just swung it and cut this tree down. And when he cut this tree down, it was like, wow, that's cool. But he didn't realize that it created a storm of demonic activity that he could not stop in this city, in this vision. And it began to bring destruction and division and discord and all this different stuff. And he couldn't put the tree back. And he just felt so bad because he realized that he, even though he could, didn't mean he should.
All right.
You know, you don't practice the power of God on people, you know.
No.
You don't just get irritated and start throwing things out that you shouldn't be saying. You should be abiding with God and operating in it. And he realized he felt so bad about that. But how many times do you see people like, I know what you just said is right, but the timing and the way that you used it and how you said that really is offensive to the kingdom of God. It's not really beneficial. And besides, now you're in prison and you've been flogged. You know, is that really good? And he possibly could have prevented it. But I got something else, some big encouraging aspect of this too, that when here they are in the bottom of the prison, imagine there's nobody nursing them. So their skin's ripped open by the beating and the flogging. And they could be offended, but they're not offended. And it's about midnight and he and Silas are in the bottom of the prison about midnight and they start singing. They just suddenly just start singing and praying and praising God. They're singing hymns. Hmm. A mighty fortress is our God. We'll be going like, get me attorney right now. You know, but it's like, is that awesome?
Yeah.
They're just singing these awesome songs to God and they're praising God. We get so caught up in things that are happening. It's like, I'm trying to hear God on this. Well, just do what he says. You just do what he says. Quit, you know, it's just, anyway, another story. So here they are. They're praying, praising God, singing hymns, where they're in shackles and they're in... those yokes, whatever you call those yokes, you know, leg irons, whatever. And all of a sudden, as they're singing, everything begins to shake and quake, and the whole jail cell begins to just rock. And all of a sudden, the chains fall off, and the door flings open to the cell, and they're free to go. God literally responded to praise, and realize, I want to encourage you that when you're in difficult times and you're in difficult situation, even if you caused it yourself, pause for a moment. Don't even think about the wounding. Don't think about what's done to you. Just begin to pray and praise God with all of your heart and watch the bondage, watch the shackles, watch the prison cells of your emotion totally shake open by the power of God and be set free in Jesus' name.
Blue Angel Hot Tubs, Pools, and Spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
If you missed any of our programs, we have 4 programs back to back. You want to make sure to catch them. Of course, you can always go to VFNTV.com, but don't forget we have podcasts available for you. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, oh my goodness, sign up. Go to VFNTV.com. In the right-hand corner, you can select newsletter sign up, and every single week, you're going to get the highlights of that week's program. Mm-hmm. And then you're also going to get an opportunity to get every single program that was available, that was shared on that week's segment.
Wow.
So it's all contained in an email, and you can take it, you know, have VFN radio on my phone, and we'll go, you know, on your iPad. Mm-hmm. And I get so many reports of people telling me, hey, listen, I was just sitting with my iPad, it went to the newsletter, and it just, you know, click, 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 and I just heard one after the other, you know. It's a great way. So sign up for yourself, and also sign up a friend.